Now, we are here on Sunday Arts with David and Neil, and our next guest is Blair Harris, who's coming to...
He's dragged his cello in, and then we've said to him, we don't want him to play. How dare he bring... He hasn't got his cello.
No, he hasn't got his cello, so...
But, you know, like, well, hello and welcome.
Hello,
well,
thank you for having me.
Cello, why cello?
Oh, it's something that I've been obsessed with ever since I was a little boy, really.
Yeah?
And yeah, haven't deviated from the plan since about the age of 10.
Wow. Wow, because that's what we always like to do, is to get your background. So, cello at 10? Well, is it a bit big for a 10-year-old?
Well, they come in all different sizes.
True.
Goodness, so, but I've been a big boy ever since then, so I was on the big one from about the age of 10. Yeah, it's something, funnily enough, that I... came across watching a video clip of Oasis back in the day.
Right.
And there was a cello in the clip, if anyone remembers the song Wonderwall, it was in there.
Yeah.
And that's one of my early memories of the song, and I became quite obsessed with the instrument from that.
Right.
And after begging and begging, I finally got given one from my parents, and
that
was the beginning of that.
Because it would be hard for parents to, you know, a cello is a big instrument, it costs a costly instrument. These days the kids actually get, they lend them from the school, don't they?
That's right.
Where they probably didn't have. Or was it happening?
I had the same situation.
Right,
as well.
Okay, yeah. Which it was handy. Yeah. But it is a big thing when you're not being pushed by your parents that you want to do it.
That's right. And not to mention the fact that music lessons are quite expensive, time-consuming.
Yep.
They don't know whether you really want to do it or not, so you've got to give it a go.
Yep.
But I was pretty persistent about it, so I got my way.
Good on you. Good on you. And... and what do they think now? You know, like, obviously the rest is history, per
That's
se.
Right. Oh, and very proud, of course.
Yep.
My parents have always been very happy to let me do what I want to do with my life and have supported me the whole way through. So
yep.
I'm very grateful to them for that.
So where did you study?
I studied in New Zealand initially, which is where I was born, and then I travelled to Queensland to do my undergrad degree at the Queensland Conservatorium, and then I came to Melbourne to go to ANAM, the Australian National Academy of Music.
Right.
Just like the finishing school, we should say, for classical musicians.
Right, okay. And what's it been like for you in Melbourne? You're like sort of coming from New Zealand, Queensland, the weather, very different to Melbourne, and culture. Culturally.
I think that the cultural aspect of it definitely is what drew me here in the first place. For example, ANAM, the school that I went to, is such an amazing hub of classical music. That's, of course, the study drew me here in the first place, and then I fell in love with the city.
Right.
I've been here for about 12 years now.
Okay. Has your instrument taken you around the world?
It has. I've been all sorts of places many, many times, to Europe, down the back coasts of England, through France, Switzerland.
And playing with who?
All sorts of chamber music. So either things for solo cello and piano, or maybe string quartet or something like that.
Yep.
They tend to be quite small ensembles of intimate music.
Yeah. Mm. And it's your full-time career?
It is my full-time career.
Good on you. Yeah, like, look at you. There you go, Mum and Dad. I told you I would do it. And, we were going through thinking, we'll write a few events that you've got where you're performing. But you've got so much. You're really a very busy boy.
It's a very exciting time for me, that's for sure.
Mm. Well, give us an example of what you are doing. Because you're doing, as you said, some solo things or small ensembles to larger things.
That's right. Well, at the moment, so it's even this week, coming up on the 22nd of July, I have a cello and piano recital at the Richmond Uniting Church. I'll give you some more information about that later. So at the moment, I'm just totally in the depths of studying the works of Beethoven, Brahms and Debussy with Andrea Katz, the pianist, and we are presenting this one-off show. That's what we love doing.
All that work for one show?
Right. Well, the journey of the pieces for us is a lifelong love affair, really, but coming to them, hearing the concert is just that glimmer of opening the curtain for a couple of hours, hearing, and then it goes back into our vault and we think about it again and, we'll perform the works maybe in a different combination another time. So, that's, one of several concerts that will be performed around Australia.
What is your favourite composer, or do you have one? Is that a hard thing for you?
Every hour of every day, if you ask me that question, I'd have a different answer, depending on my mood.
Right.
Yeah. I definitely have an affinity for modern classical repertoire, so things from the 21st and 20th centuries. I've loved that repertoire and explored it a lot over my life. But recently I've become more enamored with things like Beethoven and Brahms, which is 19th century romantic music.
Yeah.
And it changes.
And it would for a musician, and especially considering that you are so varied in what you're, you know, like you're challenging yourself, aren't you, a lot?
I love to do that, that's for sure. And I think any piece of music that I've met, once I've started to study it and get inside the score, I fall in love with them, mostly. They become so part of my emotional makeup, really, so I can't wait to perform them for people.
Right. What else are you doing?
I play in chamber music groups, Syzygy Ensemble. We're doing a tour for Music Aviva coming up, playing quintets of all contemporary Australian composers.
Right, and is that just Victoria?
No, we're going to New South Wales as well and Queensland.
Right, okay. And what's it like going on those little trips? Well, they're not little, they're quite extensive, aren't they? Regional areas.
That's right, yeah.
And, you know, look, for school kids, you know, how do they relate to somebody like you?
Yeah, so for this upcoming, these upcoming shows, we have actually school, we're going into the schools to give a talk and a little play about what we're going to do in the night time to allow a more diverse audience to come, because regional areas, of course, don't have as much access as what we do in the city, so it's important for us to reach out.
Yeah. And what are the kids like when you go into, you know, because you're presenting classical music to them, how do they react towards you?
They're so open-minded about it to begin with, because of course if they're not exposed to it, they have no preconception of what the music is going to be. So whatever you deliver to them in the first place, that's going to be their benchmark.
Yeah.
And I love doing that. I really enjoy it.
And it must be exciting, you know, like explaining to the kids, you know, like probably what the composer had in mind when they wrote that piece of music, and you know, like all those backstories that you can...
That's right, yeah. It's like, you know, for a child, you can explain the meaning of a word to them, or you can explain the meaning of a melody. It's the same thing, and they understand. If you explain it in the right way, they'll pick it up and then have that forever.
Yeah. And do you find that they then want to come to
they
the...
They do.
Yes.
That's right, and they bring their parents along if they're allowed. And, you know, it just creates a buzz. And, of course, we all want everyone to come to the concerts all the time, but that's not necessarily a reality of everybody's life. But,
yeah,
you know, it creates a buzz, especially in the regional communities when they're quite small and quite involved with each other.
Yeah. And how are you finding classical music? You know, because it seemed to make a real dive a few years back, but it's forging back right now, isn't it?
I absolutely think that, yes. I think that, you know, it's... Classical music is never an art form that's meant to dominate the world like a pop genre or something like that. It is art. It's not just entertainment. There's a really highly emotional part of it that you bring to it as a performer or as a listener. And so it's not going to necessarily be the top of the pops, you know, and it shouldn't be, I think.
But it is quite often, though, isn't it? You know, like the Melbourne Symphony Orchestra, you know, like they very much play the top of the pops a lot of the time because they've got to put the bums on seats,
that's right,
of course.
As well. That's right, yeah. So, yeah, it can be a difficult notion between the idea of art and entertainment. And bottom lines, of course, financially, it can be a tricky situation.
Yeah.
But look, at the moment in Melbourne, the classical music scene is on fire, I think. There's so many concerts, diverse things, beautiful opportunities to play in unusual spaces, and of course at the Recital Centre and the Hamer Hall and the Arts Centre as well.
Oh, the venues are amazing.
They're amazing,
aren't they?
That's right. Yeah.
What else? Come on, keep us on. I'm not satisfied that you've given us everything yet.
No, it's pretty cool. So speaking of the Melbourne Recital Centre, I'm giving a cello and piano recital there too on October 30th. And
What's that on?
That's on cello and piano.
What music are you?
It's classical music as well.
Yep.
20th century pieces by Benjamin Britten and Frank Bridge,
right.
English composers,
yep.
And two Australian works, one by Brenton Broadstock, who's a lecturer at Melbourne University, and a new piece that's been written especially for me by Kywin Martin.
Wow.
That will be the world premiere of that piece, and
excellent.
It is stunning. I've got the score now in my hands, and it's in my head, but it won't be revealed to the public until that night on October 30th.
With you doing so much, do you, you know, like, how hard is it to remember everything? You know, like, you must go, oh, you know, like, or are you one of those people that have to have the music in front of you and you're following it, you know, like, note for note?
I do have the music in front of me most of the time. If it's a collaborative project, like with another person, say the piano, I'll use the score. But for solo concerts, and I've got some other solo concerts as well, I prefer to play by memory, actually.
Right. Oh, do you?
I feel like, yeah, if the music's really not in my head that deep, then I don't trust myself to really be able to communicate it as well. So I want it. That's the ideal anyway.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the
You must have to rehearse a lot to remember it all.
Yeah, yeah.
So what's your social life? Non-existent?
Oh, no, it's pretty good. We fit it in, don't worry. We fit it all in. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So come on, keep on going, because I know there's more.
There's more, that's right. So one of my favourite programs coming up for this year is for the Melbourne Warehouse Music Festival.
Yes.
Which is in November, the 4th and 5th of November.
And the first one?
Yes, the inaugural one, that's right. Yep. So thinking Raw Warehouse in Collingwood, paired back just near the corner of Gertrude and Smith Street, actually. It's called Schoolhouse Studios.
That's right.
81 Rupert Street. And this festival is 8 back-to-back shows of varying and very diverse genres of music. From, of course, I'm doing a contemporary classical solo cello show,
okay,
through to solo piano shows. There's opera from La Prima Opera. We have cabaret shows, Celtic music, and Jack Jones is doing some Aussie rock as well.
Okay. Wow.
So pretty much, the gamut of repertoire.
And what's it like for you to be part of a festival like this? Is it? It's not the norm, is it?
It's not the norm. No, for me, I love the idea that people will go to my concert maybe at 3 o'clock, and then later that night they'll go to the opera, and then tomorrow they'll go to hear Jack Jones rocking out on the guitar.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that can, my audience will go to something that they wouldn't usually do.
Then
I'm hoping that the vice versa will happen as well. And, what we want to happen is the nature of the festival. Everyone just gets on board. You just go to everything, or go to as much as you'd like. Go for a glass of wine down Gertrude Street, come back, hear another show. Just be really open-minded and enjoy the lifestyle that will be that weekend.
Yeah, and that's the important thing about festivals, isn't it? Festivals are there to challenge you.
That's right. Yeah.
And what was it like when you were actually invited to be part of it?
So excited. So Alison Jones, the festival director.
She's a gorgeous lady.
Gorgeous, that's right. We've toured together doing various things. We went to Malaysia together one time and became very good friends over that time. And so I just think the vision that she has for this festival and a wonderful addition to Melbourne's art scene is a great creation.
Yeah.
That's a lot of hard work.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
Mm.
Thank you so much for coming in.
Pleasure.
And how can people find out more about the too many things that you're doing? Have you got a website?
You know what? I don't have a website. I'm a little bit old-fashioned. Yes. But if you'd like to find out more information about the Melbourne Warehouse Music Festival, simply Google it. You can go to trybooking.com and you can see all of the details of how to get the festival passes or individual shows. The concert that I have on July 22nd, the Saturday, is also via Try Booking called Rhapsodic Cello. It's at 6 o'clock on Saturday the 22nd of July.
Google your name.
Yes,
and it comes up because that's how we found all the stuff.
Yeah. That's right.
Thank you so much for coming
in
today.
Thank you,
and congratulations on a stellar career already.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you.
Thanks very much. You're here on Joy 94.9 Sunday Arts.